So, as we've mentioned, President Obama was on Wall Street yesterday here in New York City pushing for stronger oversight of the financial industry. And those who don't want more oversight, well, the president says he's sure he knows why.
And the only people who ought to fear the kind of oversight and transparency that we're proposing are those whose conduct will fail this scrutiny.
President being a bit of a psychologist there, describing the assumption that underlies really all of financial regulation, that forcing people into the light of day where they can be watched by federal regulators and financial regulators and the Securities and Exchange Commission will prevent them from behaving in a way that's greedy. Well, does that actually work in practice? Dan Ariely is professor of psychology and behavioral economics at Duke University. He's the author of Predictably Irrational, The Hidden Forces That Shape Our Decisions. He has a new book coming out this summer, The Upside of Irrationality, The Unexpected Benefits of Defying Logic at Work and at Home. I'm relying on that book to be a guide for my life. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine. So let's take a look at this assumption. The president says transparency and bringing things into the open prevents people from behaving greedily. What do you think?
So I think this is a very simple assumption about psychology. It's assuming that the people on Wall Street are really kind of evil people who are doing cost-benefit analysis and thinking about how much they can get away with. And as a consequence, if you either change the simple forces of the economic theory of crime, which says you increase the probability of catching them or you increase the size of punishment that we give them if they're being caught, that will deter them from cheating. But I actually think that the psychology of most cheaters on Wall Street is much more complex than that. And you must know people on Wall Street. I know too, and most of them are really nice people. And the problem is that when we put nice people in situation of conflict of interest, when they get to gain lots and lots of money from behaving badly, they see reality in a different way. And from that perspective, sunshine is not going to help that much. So imagine, for example, I gave you $8 million a year if you could see mortgage-backed security as a good product. Wouldn't you be able to convince?
Yeah. If I would just say that, right?
Yes, just say it seven times, clap your heels, and then ask yourself, you know, wouldn't you be able to see mortgage-backed security as a good thing?
Well, not only would I be able to convince other people, I could certainly convince myself that what I was doing was responsible.
That's right. And under those conditions, you know, is sunlight really going to help?
So the question
is probably no.
So the incentives are so great to misbehave that simply being seen doing it, making the billions of dollars is not going to help. Well, what regulations then are more effective and would you like to see to actually address the issue of changing behavior?
So I think the inherent problem is conflict of interest, right? I think it's true, right? We have some bad apples. We've seen some of them. But the majority of the misbehavior is caused by good people who just cheat a little bit many, many times a day. You know, people who just change the price of a stock a little bit, backdating stock options, doing small things. And I think it's all about conflict of interest. Now, listen, would you be willing to pay judges by the size of the verdict that they give, right? Give them 5% of the verdict that they pass out. Of course not, right? Everybody would understand it's ridiculous.
Right. That scares me, actually.
But we pay financial advisors, bankers, and physicians in the same way. And I think we must understand that conflict of interest run deep. You know, everybody understands that if you're a fan of a particular sports team, you will never be able to see the referee making a call against your team in a regular way. You'll always think the referee is an idiot, blind, you know, vicious, whatever they are. And in sport, it doesn't matter so much. But conflict of interest run deep in every profession.
Well,
you have people's self-interest going against the public self-interest, they will see it the wrong way.
All right, but I'm listening to what you're saying now, and it sounds like you're suggesting that the only regulation that's really going to work is to get rid of the whole bonus idea.
That's right. I think we need to have a different strategy for payment. You know, one of my kind of revelation about the banking system since the recession has been how important banks are. Right? I used to think that banks are kind of vicious and greedy, and I wanted the greediest banker to wait to work for me. But now I understand that they actually fulfill a much more important social role than I used to think so. And I think we need to treat them like this, right? And I need to think that bankers are not just about greed. They're really the engine of the economy. And what we need to do is to pay them accordingly, in, like we pay policemen and firemen and judges, and like we should pay physicians as well.
So flat fees, basically flat fees, flat salaries. You know, behavioral economics, which is your field, wasn't even around when most of the Wall Street bankers sitting there at the Cooper Union listening to President Obama was in school. Is this an opportunity to infuse behavioral economics into economic policy?
I sure hope so. You know, I have to say that kind of this field has gained a lot since the last recession, right? For a long time, people thought we were just making fun stories about the irrationalities of students or regular people, but not of people on Wall Street. And since the recession, I think we all understood how irrationality plays everywhere. It's not just in regular people making decisions. It's in every institution, and it's in the incentive structure and so on. And I think we have an opportunity that I'm afraid we'll miss by not thinking very deeply about what do these kind of incentives really do to people, and even if they mean good, could they really execute in a nice way if they get these incentives?
And, of course, if the Obama administration called you, Dan Ariely, and said, we want you to be our Minister of Behavioral Economics, you would suddenly have a conflict of interest and we wouldn't be able to pay any attention to anything you said. But it sounds to me like you think the administration and this whole financial reform bill is going to fall way short.
I'm still hopeful that we have time, but I'm hoping we're in the right direction at least.
All right. Dan Ariely, professor of psychology and behavioral economics at Duke University, author of Predictably Irrational, The Hidden Forces That Shape Our Decisions. This summer, his book is The Upside of Irrationality, The Unexpected Benefits of Defying Logic at Work and at Home, something personally helpful to me. Do you think more eyes watching will prevent another catastrophe? You can tell us at 877-8MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. And coming up,
I will now predict the exact moment in time when every single one of you will enjoy the best tasting Coca-Cola ever.
New Coke messed with the old classic secret formula. It was a huge mistake. The importance of secret formulas coming up.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.